Welcome to KGNU's Morning Magazine. It's November 21st of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Coming up on today's program, another mass shooting in Colorado. This one targeted an LGBTQ nightclub in Colorado Springs on the eve of Transgender Day of Remembrance. We'll center the voices of the local LGBTQ community. And we'll hear about how one family has channeled its grief into an event that will take place at Boulder High the Saturday after Thanksgiving. At the bottom of the hour, we'll hear the BBC News headlines and then the Hightower Lowdown. After that is Good Ol' CU with Joe Juhas. Then at 9 a.m., we'll bring you Counterspin, a look at fairness and accuracy in reporting. After that, Sam Fuqua will be in the Boulder studio for the Morning Sound Alternative. All that's still ahead, but first, these headlines with KGNU's Stacey Johnson.
A 22-year-old gunman armed with an AR-15-style semi-automatic weapon killed five people and injured at least 25 others during a 10-minute rampage at a Colorado Springs LGBTQ nightclub late Saturday night. Colorado Springs Mayor John Souther said two people at the club fought and subdued the gunmen and commended their heroic actions in saving lives during a news conference yesterday. The deadly rampage came on the eve of Transgender Day of Remembrance. The crime also occurred as national and local politicians, churches, and extremists have increased their anti-LGBTQ rhetoric and policies in recent years. Citing an investigation, officials have declined to comment on the motive of the shooting. Southers did remark the shooting has all the appearances of a hate crime in an interview with the New York Times. Several politicians, including Governor Jared Polis and President Joe Biden, issued statements yesterday decrying the violence. The Federal Bureau of Investigation is assisting the Colorado Springs Police Department with the investigation into the shooting. According to the Associated Press, the suspect was arrested last year after allegedly threatening his mother with a homemade bomb and multiple weapons and ammunition. According to the Colorado Springs Gazette, the El Paso District Attorney's Office did not pursue formal charges against the suspect, and authorities sealed the case. The effort to unionize Starbucks workers has arrived in Boulder. Susana Flores has more.
Starbucks employees at the Baseline and Broadway location in Boulder are the latest to declare their intent to form a union. The workers petitioned the National Labor Relations Board late last week to hold an election.
Accountability with scheduling and wages are one of the things that have been talked about the most.
Holden Schefter is a shift supervisor at the Boulder Baseline store. He says he's optimistic about the success of the unionization vote as support for it is high among the workers at the location.
I think that when we signed support cards, it was up close to 80% were willing to sign.
A store in Buffalo, New York, became the first Starbucks location to unionize in December of 2021. Since then, workers at more than 260 locations nationwide have voted to join Starbucks Workers United. Schefter says watching the quick rise of unionization at other locations has been inspiring.
As the first store in Boulder to announce our intent to unionize, we hope that we can provide the same inspiration for our local stores that these other stores were for us.
If the Baseline store's employees vote in favor of the union, they will make the location the ninth Colorado Starbucks to unionize. For KGNU, I'm Azucena Flores.
The Colorado Geographic Naming Board voted unanimously last week in support of a recommendation to rename Mount Evans to Mount Blue Sky in honor of the Arapaho and Cheyenne people and whose ancestors, the United States Cavalry, murdered during the 1864 Sand Creek Massacre. The 14,000-plus peak near Denver is currently named after John Evans, Colorado's second territorial governor, who resigned for his role in the massacre that killed roughly 230 Cheyenne and Arapaho people, mostly women and children, in southeastern Colorado. The recommendation moves next to Governor Jared Polis, who will then decide if the recommendation proceeds to the United States Board on Geographic Names, the federal panel that has the authority to change the peak's name. The city of Boulder announced Friday the international nonprofit Carbon Disclosure Project has once again scored Boulder with an A ranking among 122 global cities for aggressive environmental action and transparency. 2022 is the fourth year in which Boulder has received the nonprofit's recognition. According to city officials, the Carbon Disclosure Project evaluates data disclosed by local governments, how transparent it is, and how well communities tackle the climate crisis. As part of Friday's announcement, city officials said they will have the community's 2021 greenhouse gas emissions data available on the city's website next month. Internal audit investigators with the University of Colorado and an outside attorney are conducting what campus officials say is an independent, comprehensive, fact-finding inquiry of the CU Boulder's cross-country program over allegations pertaining to the program's use of body composition analysis, training methods, and overall culture. Allegations of misconduct and harmful practices first surfaced after a former runner revealed in a May 20th Washington Post article that she and others would have to undergo a monthly body composition test where a clinician would pinch them while they were clad in a sports bra and running shorts, a practice she said led her to having eating disorders and other mental health issues. Runner's World reported last week several other athletes said they too faced frequent body composition testing, and if they failed the testing, coaching staff would ban them from practice and races, resulting in eating disorders, mental health disorders, and a toxic environment within the program. Amid the accusation, CU women placed 11th overall in the NCAA finals held in Oklahoma on Saturday, while the CU men placed 8th. The Colorado Department of Labor and Employment released data Friday indicating that the state's unemployment rate increased slightly during October. BizWest reports the slight increase also occurred for Boulder County as well as Broomfield, Larimer, and Weld counties. A senior labor economist with the state told BizWest that the metro areas of Boulder and Fort Collins have had the lowest rates of unemployment through the pandemic. Although there is an uptick in unemployment, the state's labor force participation rate held steady for the second month at 69.4%, a rate making Colorado second in the nation. The Boulder Public Library is closing the Meadows Branch location today because of carpet replacement. Meadows Branch will reopen Friday, November 25th. Patrons may still drop off books at the location for returns. Today's weather forecast includes sunny skies with a high of 53 for Denver, 49 degrees for Boulder, and 50 degrees for Fort Collins. Tonight, skies will be partly cloudy with lows around 23 for Denver and Boulder, and a low of 20 for Fort Collins. The current temperature in Boulder is 26 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Stacey Johnson.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. I'm your host, Shannon Young. An armed man murdered 5 people at Club Q in Colorado Springs late Saturday night. Local authorities say the mass shooting left 25 people injured. That's up from the initial count of 18, as some of the wounded drove themselves or were taken to seek medical attention rather than treated on the scene. Unarmed clubgoers physically subdued the shooter during the attack, likely preventing further deaths. While we could go to the speeches by officials and authorities, we're going to first center the voices of the LGBTQ community. Stoney Burtz is the Southern Colorado field organizer for One Colorado, an MC and a resident of Colorado Springs. They're also a member of the KGNU Outsources Collective. I asked Stoney last night to share a message with the KGNU audience.
Hey, friends and family. Stoney with the Outsources Collective here on KGNU is addressing you today in light of recent events here in Colorado Springs regarding the Club Q shooting. Like many of you, I find myself in a place where I've offered many words today, but I still find myself speechless and wondering, what's next? Especially now we know the work truly begins and ramps up for the folks who've been working towards stopping these senseless acts of violence from continuing. I mentioned in a statement before that, you know, it's up to us to craft what tomorrow looks like. And even more so at this time, I would just urge everybody to lean in to community, to lean into each other and be reminded and take solace in the fact that we are our greatest resource. we are the experts of what it is that we need and what it is that we do not need. And certainly it is high time that we have more than just us invested in making spaces safe and keeping them safe. And with that, I would just offer words and love on your loved ones tonight and today and the day after, and continue to do that while we see our way through this. And you are loved.
That was Stoney Burtz, Southern Colorado field organizer for One Colorado. The Outsources Collective member Sean Kinney also reached out to Dr. Glenda Russell for advice on how to process grief while taking care of community.
I think every event occurs in some kind of a context. And the present context has been full of a lot of challenges for an awful lot of people, broadly speaking. It's been a difficult time in terms of things like economics, our changing understandings of racial injustice and what to do about that, the pandemic and its accompanying uncertainty, and for many, physical isolation, and even fundamental questions about where is democracy going and are we going to sustain it. By most indicators, there's a fair amount of depression and anxiety going on in the United States. So we're already kind of in not ideal circumstances. More specifically, where it comes to LGBTQ people, the entire community has been the target of anti-queer and especially anti-trans rhetoric and policies forever, but especially so in the last few years. We see it in public discourse about our lives. We see it in local, state and institutional policies and judicial decisions that are meant to constrain our lives. And beneath all of that rhetoric and all of those policies runs a clear message. We are not okay, and we are not safe. Both those broader stresses and the anti-queer and anti-trans messages may leave us in an already disempowered position, and potentially all the more so if we are at the same time members of other marginalized groups. So we need to be especially diligent about using our community, using our history, tapping into the movement perspective, calling upon allies, and taking good care of ourselves and one another. We'll get through this. We'll keep making positive change, but we need to allow ourselves to have our feelings and to move through them. We also need to hold on to one another. And this is, and I think it's really important to remember, this is not primarily a mental health problem. This is a community problem. It's a problem where our queer community and our queer culture will be every bit as helpful as any kind of mental health intervention. We want to do those things that are good for us at all times, sleep, get exercise, don't take too many substances, stuff like that. But we really want to embrace community and embrace one another and take care of one another and ask our allies to step up right now.
Another thing that comes to mind is, as we find ourselves coming out of the wake of COVID, of particular stressors around being able to make those connections and find that community, we've had a few years now to wade through that difficulty. I wonder if there are any other things that are standing out to you in terms of resources, support, things that you found in your own work as you think a lot about this, that, even in how we take care of ourselves or one another, a lot's changed in the past few years about that.
Yeah, a lot has changed. And I think one of the things that's changed is we have so much more queer culture than we've had before. And this is a great time to use that queer culture, whether it's more contemporaneous stuff or earlier stuff. I found myself pulling out some music this morning from a long time ago from Holly Near. There are go-to things that we all have that are useful for us in difficult times. And I really recommend people think about what those things are and use them, share them with other people. I think it's also really important to look at what has happened. Pulse happened in 2016. It's been a long time. Look at all the changes that have happened since then. The current anti-LGBTQ rhetoric, it's partly a political game. We know that. It's also partly a backlash because we had made so much progress. And if we forget that progress, we do it at our own peril. We really need to be thinking about how much has changed over the course of our lives and how much has changed over the course of the time since the Pulse, and understand that the movement, the large movement, continues to go forward despite tragedies like the one that happened last night, this morning, and tragedies, despite backlash, despite, you know, creepy rhetoric and creepy policies. We're not going back. We are moving forward, and we will continue to do that.
Well, Dr. Glenda Russell, thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me. Bring me back when there's something good to celebrate.
We'll do that too.
Yeah, because it's so important to celebrate the good stuff. It really is.
That was Dr. Glenda Russell speaking with Sean Kenny of Outsources. You can tune into Outsources tonight at 6:30. Without you by my side, but then I spent so many nights thinking how you did me wrong, and I grew strong, and I learned how to get along, and so you're back from outer space. I just walked in to find you here. Moving into the next segment this morning, as Colorado processes yet another mass shooting, I'm joined in the studio by someone who has lived experience with the sudden death of a loved one. Phil Calitri created a foundation in honor of his daughter, Kara. The foundation, Kara's Wave of Hope, is hosting a 5K fun run and a 2K walk this Saturday at Boulder High. Phil Calitri, thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Shannon.
We had scheduled this interview before Saturday's mass shooting in Colorado Springs, but this provides an opportunity for you to share your own experiences working through grief. Tell us about the leftover turkey trot.
Yes. Well, we started this fun run last year. Was our first annual. My daughter, Kara, was 16 in January of 2020. When she crossed. And so in her spirit, she was a very strong-willed, competitive, and also kind of generous person who had a lot of impact in the community, a lot with sports, but even beyond that, just in general. And so having lost her in 2020 and then COVID hit, it took us a while to organize, and we got together and decided in that spirit needs to keep pushing forward. And so as part of, I guess you could call it part of the grief process. I mean, if you want to know what the immediate impact of the grief was, it's indescribable, as one can imagine. And I can't go through it all, but what I will say is there's no one right way to grieve. Each of us has to process it in our own way. And I know that's sort of pertinent right now with what's going on. And I feel, too, I had been prepared before this happened, right, to talk about some of the negativity going on, even in Boulder, that I feel like a lot of people say it's not like it used to be here. And so we're trying to bring a positive aspect to the community. And so we really call this a community event. And that's our focus, is to bring the community out to make it fun. We have live music, and so people who want to run and are serious about running, they can time themselves and test themselves. But for the rest of the people, you can walk 2K. You can just listen to music, have something to eat, sign up for our raffle. We have some great community support. I have probably 40 sponsors already. And so that's the message we're trying to get out. To help others in the community. That's what our foundation does.
Give us a sense exactly of what is going to happen on Saturday. What time does it start?
Okay.
You know, what? Give
Thank
us the
you.
Details.
Thank you. Yeah. Yes, you can get there at 9 o'clock to register, but you can also go online right now. And we'd love it if you would, so that we have some idea of our numbers, at caraswaveofhope.org. And so at 9 a.m., you can register, have bagels and fruit and so forth, and then the actual run will start at 10 o'clock. And if we have a lot of walk-ups, I sometimes push it back, or I did last year by a few minutes. And so everyone will run, finish running and walking, and then we will, again, the music will be going, and then we'll do our raffle at that point. And like I say, it's pretty much it. Last year, there were quite a few people, I think, reconnecting. A lot of Kara's classmates are now in college, and it's very touching. I mean, some of them even last year changed their flights back to school just so they could go Saturday morning. So that, again, the kind of impact she had throughout the community. And so we have the community support of businesses, and now we want the community to come on out and join us.
Yeah, and if you're feeling a little heavy after Thanksgiving, you don't have to run. It is a walk as well. And this is taking place in the rec field of Boulder High School. That is the big kind of stadium-like thing outside, back behind Boulder High.
On the west side, yes. It's on the, it'd be the west side of the building.
Okay, the west side of the building at Boulder High.
I'm sorry, southwest.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Where
the track is.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's where the start is.
Now, this is a foundation, and it goes towards, where do the funds go?
Yes, we are, we're trying to partner with some people, but basically, and again, for any listeners out there, anyone can apply. I mean, even though we're partnering with some sports clubs and also Boulder High School, we have two different types of scholarships. One is for athletic scholarships, and this is for youth that can't afford to play competitive sports at the highest level. So sometimes a club will pay for their registration, but that same player might get left out for a college showcase, for instance, in San Diego or in Arizona. So we're going to pick up the cost of that so that that child may actually, it may make a big difference. They may get a scholarship to college where they might not have been able to attend college. And the second half is academic scholarships for anyone interested in environmental science, atmospheric science, anything to do with the environment, renewing our environment, preserving our environment. So we have that broad-based also. So my advice to anyone who's listening is just apply. You know, you go and look at the application, whether you think it relates or not, go ahead and write your essay and give an application, and we're going to consider anyone and everyone. It's for people who don't have the financial means to move forward. So that's what we're trying to do, is to pursue their dream, help them pursue their dreams through this foundation.
And where can people find out more information about participating in on Saturday's Leftover Turkey Trot or in applying for scholarships?
It's all right there on the website, careswaveofhope.org. And you can also sign up for our newsletter. And for those who do Instagram, we have that also, Kara's Wave of Hope. But yes, it's careswaveofhope.org, and that's Kara with a C.
With a C, yes,
yes.
Indeed. Well, Phil Kalitri, anything else that you would like to add in our final seconds?
You know, the other thing is, I know a lot of people travel for Thanksgiving, our cause, without being there. And you can win the raffle even if you're not present. And again, I think we're just trying to, all I would say is we're really just trying to make this something, a very positive event in these times when things are not so positive for a lot of people. We want to uplift the entire community and bring them together.
Well, thank you, Phil Kalitri, for joining me today in the studio. That's going to do it for today's Morning Magazine. I want to thank Stacey Johnson, Azucena Flores, Alexis Kenyon, Stoney Burtz, Sean Kinney, Glenda Russell, and Phil Kalitri for coming into the studio this morning. Up next is Good Old CU. That's going to be coming up right after the headlines from the BBC.